This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
This may not be your chance to do the hump, but it is hump day. So if you're not humping, then there's no better place to be than right here and right now for the Decibel Geek Podcast. Congratulations, we're all here to rock and roll. Chris Sinzak is right there. I'm Aaron Camaro. How's everybody doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Excited today. We have a very special guest today.
This was the coolest, man. So cool.
Yeah, I
think back to when I was a young kid looking at my David Lee Roth Eat 'Em and Smile album, never imagining to ever have the opportunity to sit down and converse with the great Billy Sheehan.
Yeah, and we
got, that's exactly what we got to do.
We got very fortunate. I want to thank Amanda at ABC Promotions for helping set this one up.
She was cool.
Really cool. And yeah, the Winery Dogs were in town recently, and I just put it out there to her because I've known her for years. I'm like, hey, can you get us Billy Sheehan? And not expecting ever to get a yes. And she's like, yeah, sure. Here's the time and here's the place. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So
that's the beautiful thing about it. That's what we've always said. That's like what we told the writers, you know, just show up, say you're with the Decibel Geek Podcast. Yeah. They might say yes, you know.
You'll hear yes more often than you think.
Exactly, and, yeah. We're living proof of that.
Yeah, so we got whisked away to the backstage area of the Wild Horse Saloon with a beautiful view of the river and everything. And
yeah, I was like, the pictures of the horses on the wall. And I was like, I've been in this room before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, as you'll hear in a few minutes, Billy was very candid. And it's just a typical conversation. It kind of goes all over the place, covers different parts of his career. We definitely touch on Eat 'Em and Smile. And
such a nice guy.
Stuff they're doing now and his thoughts on the music industry and stuff he listens to. It's just a good general conversation with Billy, and he couldn't have been nicer.
No, it blows me away sometimes that these guys that are so freaking awesome at what they do, you know, there's not a whole lot of bass players in the world that can say they're better than Billy Sheehan. I can't think of any off the top of my head. But yet this guy is still so down to earth and so cool
and
and a lot of fun just to be around.
Yeah, he had a lot of great stories and you'll hear them soon, but let's get some business out of the way. Geeks of the Week this week, these are the people that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter. Had a lot of new listeners from last week's Real Scary Scary Songs episode, celebrating horror movie soundtrack music.
Everybody loves Halloween.
Yeah, so if you're new to the show, welcome, and we do this show every week, and this is how you become a Geek of the Week. Just share on Facebook, retweet on Twitter, and I'll mention your name. It's as easy as that.
Heck yeah.
Geeks of the Week this week are Dave Gabbard Jr., Lance Big Man Rock, Dennis Gamez, Michael Bartley, Aaron Goen, John Wilson Isaac, Seymour Pierce, Jason Wood, Aaron McCracken, Aaron Baker, Chad Pollock, Mike Blunt, James Shackelford, Brant Cattell, Sergio Guerrero, Kenny Smitherman, Derek Novak, Darren Parkin, Alan Tate, Shane Hebert, Matt Bradshaw, Peter Vasallo, Wayne Cross, Anthony Poole, Mark Alden Taylor, Paul Korn, Baco, Joe Royland, Sit and Spin with Joe, David Alpazar, Todd Cunningham, Mike Stewart, Cobras and Fire Podcast, Miguel Nunez, Robin Bennett, Billy Hardaway, Scott Harding, Andrew Jacobs, Ian Wadley of Rock and Metal Combat Podcast, Brent Walter, Trevor McDougal, Warren Money, Podcasts Are the Best, Ruben Garcia, Jay Finhouse, Ernesto Aguiar, Daniel Chaput, Jay Motown Drummer, Adam Cox, Colin Francis Hoops, Mikhail Burrell, TJ Cullen, Nick Rose, and the Mooger Fooger. That's
Take
a mouthful.
A breath, man. Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, we're not one of those big fancy podcasts. We don't have, you know, we're not selling you dog food and we're not selling you health snacks and, you know, all the multitude of things that podcasts sell to you. We're not a corporate conglomerate like that. You know, we're just grassroots. And, you know, you guys are our advertisement. When you get out there and share it and retweet it and, you know, tell your grandmas about it and tell your cool cousins about it that love Def Leppard, you know, you got to check out this show. You're doing it for us so that we don't have to do that, because damn, if anybody ever comes in here and tells us what we can and can't play and who we can and can't talk to, that would be the end of the Decibel Geek Podcast.
Absolutely.
So it's all about the rock and roll. And today, just like last week, just like the weeks before that, go back in the archives, check them all out. We've been here rocking for a long time. And if you're new to it, you missed out on a lot.
But it's all available to you.
Heck yeah. Nonstop, all the time. That's the beautiful thing about it. Stuff we did 3-4 years ago is still there.
Yep.
And 3-4 years from now, this is still going to be here.
That's right. So let's
so proud.
Let's get to our talk with the one and only, the awesome Billy Sheehan.
Billy Sheehan. get started in some of the early days. Well, first off, I only mentioned a friend of mine. I was insanely jealous of him because when I told him I was going to be talking to you, that he said that he saw you guys play a place here called 328 Performance Hall back in the Mr. Big days.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that show?
I don't remember the show particularly, but I know we came through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's funny, we play so many places. We were talking about this earlier. I don't always remember where I played. I know I played.
Blends together after a while.
The details get fuzzy with me.
Right.
But some things I generally will have a surprisingly good memory if I get jogged a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
But for me, shows, there's so much of a sameness. Right. To shows, not anything that really uniquely stands out.
Right.
You know, that's why a lot of people laugh when performers go up and say the wrong name of the city.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in fact, there's no way for you to know what city you're in.
Right.
If you, it doesn't say, you know, Nashville on the floor.
Right,
anywhere.
Right.
It doesn't say that. So
maybe,
you know,
that would help.
That's why they write it on the monitors. Yeah. Because Chicago, you know, big giant letters. So when you look down, oh, we're in Chicago tonight. So, you know, because you really, there's a sameness that happens. You get there, you get to the gig, you get to the sound check, you do the thing, the dressing room, gig, out, bus, gone, repeat.
Right.
You know, so you never really get a chance to see any road signs even because you're in the tour bus. You know,
yeah,
so,
you're constantly running from one thing to the next.
But I was here.
That's
great. I swear to God.
Okay. That's wonderful. And I said, we're big fans of a lot of your work.
Thank you.
And I understand that we have your grandmother to thank for that.
Yeah, she said, as long as I'm alive, there'll never be an electric guitar in this house. And she died, and with the insurance money, my mom was, let me get my first bass, my first guitar, bass. I forgot which came first exactly. Yeah. My sister had an acoustic guitar in a room, and I would borrow, quote unquote, that.
Yeah.
And then she never got it back. And so I still owe her the $30 I promised her to pay it for. So I said to my sister, Marion, you'll never be broke.
Yeah.
Someone will always owe you $30.
That's true.
So you found a loophole in the wishes. Yeah. Exactly. Bass guitar.
She didn't
awesome.
Tell me when I had to pay it.
Right. I hear you. So, and growing up, I've read that Tim Bogert was a giant influence on you.
Huge influence, yeah. I got way into the Vanilla Fudge right away.
Yeah.
And I just love the sound of the band, too.
Mm-hmm.
That B3 and all the vocals. And,
yeah.
It was just, and they didn't write any originals, though. They're all copy tunes on there.
Right.
And, so I think later on, they, unfortunately, they didn't make a lot of money off the band because they didn't have their own songs. But the way they would take a song and morph it into another thing was a great lesson to me that I didn't even realize that I had learned until years later.
Mm-hmm.
Just to understand what you can do with any given song or set of chords. You know, that's why when somebody's writing something, I only need to hear like the basic of kind of what it is because I know what can be done with it later on.
Right.
So
yeah.
It helps to understand that. They were a big influence. I love that band very much. And I got to meet and hang with Tim a couple of times.
Nice.
He's a wonderful guy too, really gracious and generous.
Well, yeah, and like with younger people, that name kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
But if you talk to people from the 70s and the 80s, his name comes up a lot.
Oh, yeah, Tim. Well, not only Vanilla Fudge, but then Cactus.
Yeah.
Another great, great band.
Yeah,
a lot
Beck
of people
Bogart,
forget
Beck
about.
Bogart
and Beck Bogart and Appice was another great one, too.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, Vanilla Fudge, they kind of got back together a little bit, but without one guy. And then they got him back, but another guy was gone. So,
right.
You know, it was just a shame to see that they never could really get rolling again.
Yeah, but I can always hear his influence in your playing.
Great.
Years.
Well, like, it's definitely there.
And the Vanilla Fudge, I mean, some of that sound comes through with what you're doing with Winery Dogs now.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a respect for the classic rock stuff, but then there's also a modern twist to what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of an ideal situation for, you know, we always pay tribute to those, you know, the people whose shoulders we're standing on.
Sure.
Certainly for me, there's a long, long list. And a big, big bunch of people, not only bass players, but all kinds of musicians and bands and all types of aspects of music. And then, you know, we try to do what we can in a new unit of time with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're attempting with the Winery Dogs. You know, we all grew up with all kinds of great music. It all influenced us all. But now what do we do?
Right.
So it'll always leave its mark.
Yeah.
But we try to move ahead as best we can.
Yeah, and you know, and you guys have this new album, Hot Streak, out. And well, let me ask you this, because I know the fans of the band are going to want to know. With the new album, you've obviously proven this is more than a one-off project.
We've proved it.
Well, you have a lot of those now nowadays. It seems like
an
album, and then nothing ever happens.
Yeah, see, that bothers me too, because as a fan, when I get a record, back in the day, when I would buy a record, I'm investing not only my money, but my emotion in the band. Like, wow, I'm into this band. I'm telling my friends about it. This is great, incredible. Right. And then the next record comes out, and then one guy leaves. Like, oh, you know, it always would break my heart.
Yeah.
Or by the third album, the guitar player quits, and they get, it's not the same anymore, you know? And a lot of bands these days, they it's just a little trial and error thing where they put a band together, put the record out. Does it happen? No? Okay, now we'll try another
one.
You got to stick with it. And even before we started writing with this band, we thought, you know, if we're going to do it, let's do it as a band and stick with it. Mm-hmm. And go, you know, do six records, do 10 records, continue on for as long as we possibly can. Because I think people that get into the band will be pleased with that because they're making an emotional investment.
Sure.
Everybody that'll be here tonight, you know, is here for a reason. They heard about the band. They like the band. It's all good. They want to see it. So, you know, we don't want to let them down by suddenly, you know, just, well, it's not quite popular enough. We're not quite making enough money off this, so we're going to go find greener pastures. I hate that.
Yeah. I suppose it's got to be double hard for the Winery Dogs because, I mean, this is the definition of a super group. I mean, you guys have come from all kinds of successful backgrounds together into one group, where I imagine there's plenty of other projects out there calling each one of you guys, you know, trying to pull you away from it. So appreciate the fact that you guys are sticking it out.
Oh, I'm glad, yeah. There are a lot of things, but all of them are projects and one-offs and things like that. With this year, to actually get a band and be together in a studio writing as a band together, you know, being there for the production, being on the road together, being on the tour bus together, getting to the airport, on and off the plane, all the things you go through every single day on tour.
Yeah.
Doing it together as a band, it really is a different mindset than being a hired gun or just there because, you know, this is just a project. And I do believe it reflects in the music. I hope it does with ours.
It does. Yep.
It should. In theory, it should. So it's hard for me to tell because I'm so close to it, but I would hope that it does reflect.
It most definitely does. Well, Winery Dogs are the real deal.
Right. And, and there's so much today of flying tracks to each other.
We don't do that.
It's you can tell when it's done organically rather than done through, I'm going to email you my part.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, inevitably the sessions that I do where I have to do that because somebody's in another country and want me to plan something, I'll do it, you know, as a favor or whatever. And even then, I like to try to, like, let me do as long of a take as I can before we stop.
Yeah.
So it's actually like I'm actually playing the song rather than, okay, let's do the next chorus. All right, let's go back and do the first chorus again. Okay, first part of the first verse. Okay, second part of the first. But, you know, I try to play through. That's why I always try to learn that song actually and actually play it. So it's got a little bit of that feel.
Sure.
But I don't know how effective that is.
Yeah, it's got to kind of take the soul out of it when you're bitten and piecing it together like that as opposed to just rocking it out.
Yeah, because you could do a note at a time if you wanted.
Right, sure, with technology the way it is nowadays.
Well, let me do a little bit of This Is Your Life. Because I obviously we have a limited amount of time and I want to cover as much as I can.
Sure.
Well, first off, Eat 'Em and Smile, one of our all-time favorite albums.
Yeah, I think it's easily David Lee Roth's best album solo, for sure.
Thank you, I love that record.
And what a band. Holy shit, what a band.
It was a blast.
So, but an interesting that ties back to previous to that, obviously there's the Talas connection to Van Halen. You guys opened up for them in 1980.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you had already written Shy Boy back in the Talas days.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
So, was that something you immediately brought to Dave when he wanted to bring you on board?
He suggested it.
Oh, so he had already heard it previously.
He heard it, liked it, and wanted to do it.
He's like, let's do this.
Go, Dave, go.
That's cool.
And he was very generous. He let me, a lot of times situations like that when there's, I mean, he's the biggest rock star in the world.
Right.
He could have said with me, and it still would have been fair,
hey,
I'll do Shy Boy, but I want half of the publishing.
Right.
So you can get 100% of nothing, or 50% of a huge thing.
Right.
And that happens,
It happens all the time. Or somebody just, sometimes they say, I'll do it all, I'll take it all, and you'll get your writer's credit, but you're not going to get any royalties.
Yeah.
Wow. And some guys do that, but Dave did not. He let me.
Awesome.
He was completely generous and cool. And, so it was great enhancement to my life to have a song and a million-selling record, you know, helped me financially very much, and I'm forever grateful for that. He was very generous to us.
Give it one more time, boy. Shy boy, shy boy. Shy boy, shy boy. Shy boy, shy boy. Give it one more time, boy. You make me nervous.
That was one of the first albums I ever bought when I was a kid.
Yeah.
With my own money. It was that David Lee Roth album. And we were talking the other day, and it was like, it's almost like Dave must have said, okay, I need the guy who's on the most covers of Bass Player magazine. I need the guy on the most covers of Drummer's World, and the most guy on the, you know, and that's the band you get. You get Steve Vai, Greg Bissonette, and yourself. I mean, geez, man. Well, every band you're in is a super group.
Well, no, actually, when Eat'em and Smiles put together, yeah. Greg Bissonette was relatively unknown.
Yeah?
He played with Maynard Ferguson.
Okay.
Maybe some session work.
Yeah.
That's about it. Steve played with Frank Zappa, so he's known from that, but he was still kind of off in the distance. And then Alcatraz was kind of a, after Yngwie left, it was kind of a funny thing.
Yeah.
Myself, I had gotten articles in magazines, but I never had a cover.
Right.
Until I was in the band with Dave. And then things started to explode.
Right, okay.
They actually took three relatively unknown guys. Which was very kind of him also.
So
I remember
that Dave himself that picked you guys out? I mean, did he have the foresight to say these guys are superstars or could be in the right spotlight?
I don't know. I don't know what was in his mind, but he picked me first.
Uh-huh.
I was the first guy in, and we were going to find a guitar player. And I mentioned Steve Vai to him. And so we brought Steve in. Steve was in, and then he told Steve and I to go find a drummer. We did rehearsals. Greg Bissonette walked in, and the moment we saw him, we knew he was the guy. He didn't have to play. It was an instinctively thing.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. But I remember when I got my first cover, national cover, was a cover of Guitar Player magazine. We were playing in Buffalo. This is quite a night. It's an incredible situation to be in. We're playing in Buffalo. The mayor declared it Billy Sheehan Day.
Wow.
They slid the Guitar Player magazine under my hotel room door with me on the cover. It was also the issue with the poll, and I won the poll that year, too.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, you know.
Greatest day ever.
Three men on base. Here comes the ball. It was an incredible moment. And I had Dave to thank for a lot of that,
yeah.
For most all of that, really. He was just it was a great situation. We had a lot of fun in the Eat 'em Smile Band.
And made some damn good music, too.
Let me ask you
this about him. Because, like, David Lee Roth at that period of time was like the ultimate megawatt personality.
Sure.
You know, he was
certainly.
The guy lit up more than the room. He lit up the whole house
the
when
block.
He walked in.
Yeah.
But I get the impression that, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that like when the cameras and stuff were away, he was a guy who was ready to get down to business and like really put in a lot of work on the stuff and was more of a level-headed person maybe than what his image portrayed in the press.
Well, I don't think I think a lot of what his image was really him.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a lot of, you know, I think he lived it.
Yeah.
But he's a smart guy and he knows what he wants and he understands what it takes to put an entertaining show on.
Right.
And all the things you got to do around that to make that happen.
Yeah.
He really gets it. He being around him is like getting a PhD in showbiz 101. He was the master at that stuff, you know. He's the entertainer. The solo that we did live with me and Steve, like battling each other, that was Dave's idea.
Oh wow!
That was his idea completely.
That's incredible.
Because we did our individual solos and about two or three shows in the tour. That I, you know, the solos are good, but it's not entertaining enough. So let's make it like a tractor pull. That was for the phrase he even used.
That's
you know,
cool.
Steve will play. You go stop and push, and I said, okay, we'll give it a try. And people went crazy. They loved this. And
yeah,
it was Dave's idea.
It's awesome.
Pretty cool.
Can you
very
share
cool.
the story about the fog on the stage and you know
the
routine that he would do?
Well, we saw when Van Halen was playing with Talas opening up.
Yeah.
We stayed for every show and watched every single show. It was just and we'd laugh at the jokes every night,
right.
Even though we heard the same joke the night before.
Yeah.
It was still funny to us.
Right.
And they had the fog on the stage for everybody who wants some the dry ice fog, and a crew guy would crawl under the fog and lay a joint down at a little X spot on the stage. So it'll be in the middle of the song, and the fog would clear, and Dave would stop the band. Hey, hey, because people are always throwing shit up on stage, just panties and prescription bottles and all God knows what. I heard recently, was it a, I can't remember, some kind of Marilyn Manson show. We had a lighting man in another band I was touring with that did the Marilyn Manson tour. He said somebody threw a rattlesnake in a jar.
Oh my god!
On the stage.
Oh wow!
What? So, but it wasn't that crazy back then. But people would, you know, it was common to throw a joint up on stage or something. So Dave was like, "Hey, stop the show! Look down. There was the joint placed there by the crew." And Dave was like, "What the heck is this?" Hold it up. Of course, it looks like somebody from the audience was throwing it.
Right.
And then he guy come out with a lighter, he'd take a puff and go, you know, some like, Indiana, you people party better. Crowd would go nuts. But it was shtick, but it was genius.
Oh, yeah, it's totally it genius.
Genius. Another thing they did, which was really brilliant, you know, the crowd would be just going crazy. It's just so loud, they're out of their minds. And say, man, we want to take you home. So bring the camera out. They brought this giant motion picture with a giant film reels, huge motion picture film camera, huge cables running off at guys with battery packs, holding up the camera, holding the guy, a giant light on the whole crowd, and the people in the crowd are going out of their minds. We're in the Van Allen movie! Oh, my God! It was fake. There was no... But it was just perfect shtick. I mean, what a great... Nobody in the room needed to know whether it was fake or not. They were having the greatest time of their lives.
Yeah, don't look behind the curtain, you know? Yeah. Just enjoy the show for what it is.
It was just genius.
Master entertainer.
You know, people sometimes say to me, man, we really, really love the Decibel Geek Podcast. What can we do to help? We want to help fly that flag of hard rock and classic metal just like you guys do. Well, there's a multitude of ways you guys can help us out. Number one, leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great way to do it because, you know, whether you like it or not, iTunes is one of these things where they can make or break you. You know, we really want to show these guys to give... We really want to show iTunes that rock and roll and hard rock and classic metal and the stuff that we love around here is still viable, you know, and still important. And by showing iTunes that the Decibel Geek Podcast is important to you by leaving us a sweet review, that's exactly what you're doing. That's a great way to help us out. We sure appreciate it. Another way you can help us out, head on over to DecibelGeek.com. That's the mothership of rock and roll. You got to love that. You head on over there, you check it out. What you're going to see right off the top, the Amazon banner. But we're going to talk about that in a second. What else you're going to see if you take the time to scroll on down is you're going to see some amazing articles. Man, I've seen some great ones here lately. I've seen a really sweet Def Leppard album review, the brand new one. Totally agree on that one 100%. Also saw a really cool one from, what is it, Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats?
Yeah.
Did you read that?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go freaking get that album just based on
the
review.
I've heard good things from
other
people,
good.
Too.
So, you know, the things we learn by going to DecibelGeek.com. You want to tip your DJs? You can hit the donate button. You want to get yourself a sweet Decibel Geek t-shirt? That's the place to do it. You want to sign up and become a VIP. You don't feel like you got just enough Decibel Geek in your life. You need a little bit more. Become a Decibel Geek VIP. You get the Chris and Aaron show. We're going to talk about strippers. We're going to talk about Hulk Hogan. We're going to talk about doing drugs. We're going to talk about all kinds of crazy shit on the Chris and Aaron show. And if you even remotely like the Decibel Geek podcast, if you think we're just a little bit funny, well, wait till you see what happens when we cut loose and we're not stuck to a theme or anything like that. We just talk about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That one guy told me that it was better than the Decibel Geek podcast. I didn't know how to take that.
Yeah, I know, because we work hard on the podcast.
I didn't know how to take that. Thanks.
I take it. I'll take it anyway.
But also screw you.
Yeah. If you enjoy it, we love you.
But, you know, that's all at DecibelGeek.com. You want to get in on the conversation. You go to Facebook. You want to help us in a way that can really, really benefit everyone. Well, it's simple. I mentioned it a minute ago. You go to DecibelGeek.com. You click on our Amazon banner. The beautiful thing about it, you're already shopping on Amazon. You got to get your Grim Reaper CD, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got to get their Grim Reaper CD.
Or your Gravedigger CD.
Or Gravedigger or Billy Sheehan. Get the new Winery Dogs album. Shit, yeah. Go get that right now. And when you're going to get it through Amazon, you go to DecibelGeek.com. You click on that link. It takes you to Amazon. Now you're at Amazon. It doesn't seem any different. Because it's not. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same as it normally would be. You click on it, you order your Winery Dog CD, you get a fantastic deal on it because it's Amazon. You can pick and choose. You can make it right for yourself. You get that fantastic deal. You're not paying a penny more than what you would normally pay by going to Amazon. But what Amazon does is they take a portion of their proceeds, what they get off of it, and they kick it to us. Why? Because Amazon freaking rocks, and they love hard rock, and they love classic metal, and they love this geek podcast, and they want to help us out, but only if you want to help us out, and that's the number one way to do it.
Yeah, so we want to go over some of the purchases from the last 7 days on Amazon through the link. These are things that some of you bought. Some Redken Smooth Lock Heat Glide Hairspray was bought.
Nice. Yeah. Somebody's spiking it up. It's like the 80s are coming
all
back.
All over again.
Shit, yeah. We're selling hairspray. It's all coming back. It's because of us.
A couple of books are bought. Confessions, The Murder of an Angel, and The Rogue Lawyer. I think that's a John Grisham book.
Huh. Okay, cool.
Some smart listeners. Also, some music that was purchased in the last 7 days. Some new stuff. A good amount of new stuff was purchased. The new Saxon album, Battering Ram, was bought.
Right on.
The Wasp, Golgotha, was bought. We've sold a few of those.
Yeah, we're moving a lot of Wasp albums.
Yep, the new Def Leppard self-titled album was bought.
Cool. That's probably driven off that review, I bet.
Sweet and Lynch, Only to Rise, was purchased.
Right on. That's cool. I've been wanting to hear that.
It's pretty good. Iron Maiden, The Book of Souls, was bought.
I've heard that. I know that's a good purchase.
And a pretty sizable purchase. UFO, The Complete Studio Albums Collection, 1974 to 1986, was bought.
Right on, man. That's cool. I can imagine being able to enjoy that whole set.
So, yeah. UFO episode in the future, maybe?
We've always talked about it. We need that special certain someone. You know who I'm talking about. We need a UFO expert to come on the show. Maybe perhaps come back onto the show.
Maybe.
And help us through a UFO episode. That's what we need. When that happens, I'm all about it.
I have some strings to pull, but stay tuned.
All right. Right on. Thank you to everybody that shops through Amazon through the Decibel Geek link. Like I said, it doesn't cost you, but it sure helps us.
That's right. Now let's get back to our talk with Billy Sheehan.
Edom and Smile, though, the song Ladies Night in Buffalo. Well, you're from Buffalo, but you don't have a writing credit on this.
No, I said it. I was the one who said it.
Okay, because I was like, he had to have something to do with that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I went to Buffalo for Thanksgiving. And, hey, what did you do? I went out. It was Ladies Night in Buffalo. And I went, what? Ladies Night in Buffalo. Which sounds like a lonely, bleak thing, but Buffalo's a great city. And, you know, I think they kind of, it's hard to get respect sometimes as a city like Buffalo. So they kind of laughed it off, but then that's how the song was born.
I got it. Talk about the high cost of loving. I think I hear freedom drumming in seams. Give me your heart and I'll give you the stars. Yeah, right, she says. Maybe in your dreams. Yeah. Heat wave blast, kids are screaming. Pavement's hot. Sidewalk steaming. What I loved about that album, and that David Lee Roth done this for the years, is he has a great way of making just normal metalheads get into stuff that they normally wouldn't listen to.
Which I love.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize they're getting into the stuff.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. Similar thing happened with Mr. Big when we had To Be With You.
Yeah.
We'd have a crowd of kids with Metallica shirts singing along with To Be With You, and 14-year-old girls with braces singing along with the Daddy Brother and Addicted to That Rush.
Absolutely.
And all that stuff. I love breaking down that barricade because I grew up at a time when that barricade didn't exist.
Right.
You listen to Joni Mitchell and then Spooky Tooth and then Hendrix and then a Beethoven piece.
Right.
And all the shows had different bands on
right.
them, too.
Yeah.
One show, Aerosmith opened up for the Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That's quite a
wow.
lineup.
Pretty amazing. I went to a show. It was New York Dolls, Aerosmith and Mata Hoople, Halloween in Buffalo.
That must have been amazing.
Amazing show. And it was great. Johnny Winter and 10 years after. This blues band, rock band. So there wasn't a kind of wall between things. And people would be into it. Nobody would be booing or throwing stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It seems like back then, you know, you'd get them weird lineups where it seems weird now. It's like, man, these bands don't really belong together. But who's to say they do or they don't?
I know. I wouldn't be great to see like Slayer, the Winery Dogs, and Bryan Adams.
Yeah?
Why not?
Well, I'd go to that.
What a riot. I've enjoyed
it. I don't know what Slayer would do to Bryan Adams, but it sounds interesting.
Might be a little emotionally conflicted after the show, but I'm sure it'd be a great time.
Cool.
Well, let me get a little bit into Mr. Big. I was a big fan of Mr. Big.
Thank you.
And still am.
Yeah, me too.
Can you share the story about the show you did in Atlanta where Paul had a little bit of a malfunction?
Yeah, we had flown to Berlin to do a TV show. Having a hit record is an amazing thing, but it would crush a lesser man. You are just put under a schedule. You got to do everything. You got to do it now, and you got to do it exactly perfect. Mm-hmm. Go, you know. So it's really a lot of pressure, but we loved it. It was great, and we responded to it well. So we had to fly on a day off, 2 days off, fly to Berlin, do a TV show, fly home, back to the opening of the Rush tour. So it's a pretty grueling flight. So yeah. We got there, almost no sleep at all, got there, and it was an incredible situation with the show, too, because it was a German kind of a talk show. Mm-hmm. And they had a judge who had just prosecuted all these mafioso in Italy.
Wow.
So the building was surrounded with helicopters and sharpshooters. They had these giant steel plates on wheels that they moved around in case a bomb went off, you know, because that's how serious it was.
Yeah.
So he was on the show, and before him was a guy from Afghan who was raising money for the kids who step on the landmines, blowing their legs off.
Yeah.
Terrible tragedy. Wow. And so, you know, here's the guy from Afghanistan showing the pictures of the kids with the legs off, and then they bring the judge out, and cops, the sharpshooters, and helicopters, and watching the guy tell us his story. And now, Mr. Big.
It's a rock band.
It's the weirdest thing. So we do play. To be with you. Hey. Go to the airport and fly back home. For 3 minutes of the song was all we did. And we went back, and we were so tired and so shell-shocked and punch drunk. Paul, what he meant to do with the drill was hold his hand up to his ear like, I can't hear you, but the drill is still in your hand. It was still spinning and caught his hair.
Oh, no.
And he couldn't let go of the drill because it was heavy. And now the guitar is feeding back like crazy. And the whole place at the Atlanta Omni.
The Omni, yeah.
Sold out. The whole place is watching him in total disbelief, like, laughing their asses off. So I run out. Paul, go behind my amp. I ran out and did an emergency bass solo. Started playing. Then Paul's back there. And then I heard later on what happened. He goes, they got a scissors. He goes, no, just put it in reverse and hit the trigger. So he hit the trigger and boom, back now the other way.
Oh, no.
So they finally got the bit out and got the thing out of his hair, and he got up there. And Getty, Alex, and Neil were, we almost had to call the emergency medical team. They were laughing so hard.
I bet.
Unbelievable. So the next show we did, the next night, they had all the crew's power tools laying all over the stage.
Oh, nice.
I was playing, you know.
Too funny.
But it was a funny thing, and it was the guys in Rush were so great.
Oh, I've so always heard that.
So nice, and so generous, and so cool. And they let us come up and play the last song, Hey, Baby, It's a Chord, whatever. We went and played with them. They were so great.
That's
what
awesome.
An incredible experience, too. Such legendary guys.
Oh, yeah.
Just so cool.
Yeah, I took my wife to see them. It was both our first time seeing them, like, 2 years ago. And we just had a great time.
Oh, they're awesome.
And I told her, I said, you're not going to have any trouble going to the bathroom.
There'll be no line.
The one thing I kind of take from that story is I wish we all had, like, when life goes funny and things aren't right, just Billy Sheehan just shows up and does an emergency bass solo and then covers for you while you straighten everything
that's
out.
That's good. I'm putting that in my act. That's
good.
That's great.
That's awesome. Let me ask you this. Has there been anything, because like Aaron had brought up earlier about you guys probably get asked all the time for certain things, but looking back on your whole career, has there been anything that at one time you were like, no, I don't think that's for me, and then later on you look back on it, you're like, man, I wish I had actually maybe taken that off.
Lucky enough, no.
Oh, wow.
The decisions I made were the right decisions at the right time.
That's good.
Matter of fact, I was in L.A. with Dave, and we're still putting the band together. It wasn't you know, really there. And I remember I was out with him. Like, he'd go out at night to clubs, and I'd go out and hang out, and him and his bodyguard, a bunch of friends, people from the office. Most of the people that were for Van Halen left and worked with Dave now, and we're all out hanging out and drinking and doing nothing. And, it was kind of a boring night, and I'm sitting there, and Dave said to me, hey, if you want to go back to Buffalo for a couple of weeks, if you want. And I thought to myself, don't do it. Stay right here.
Yeah.
Imagine going back to Buffalo, and maybe he meets some other bass player.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So I said, no, I'm cool. I'll stay. Thank you.
I'm going to keep my spot secure.
So I think I may have... ensured that things went the way they did that way. I don't know. I'm just speculating on that.
I suppose, you know, back then, everywhere he went, he probably had people coming at him and go, hey, man, I'd be a lot better than Billy Sheehy. Give me a chance. You know, I'd be a lot better than Steve Vai. Let me, you know, be in your band. I'm sure a lot of that.
Well, nobody really
on,
knew
know?
There was a band yet.
Yeah?
Yeah, he really kept a secret. Matter of fact, when he called me, his office called me and said he was doing a movie. He wanted me to be in a movie. Uh-huh. And so I went out there. And he goes, there's no movie. I just had to say as a cover. You can't tell anybody. So I'm in my band Talas, opening up for Yngwie for the rest of that whole tour, and I can't tell anyone. I just joined David Lee Roth's band, I can't tell a person.
So the Van Halen split hadn't been announced yet at the
no.
time?
Wow.
Matter of fact, the day I got to L.A., I was going to have a meeting with Dave the next day, and then the next day do a show. The day I got to L.A., I called Eddie and said, Ed, I'm going to play in L.A., to Palladium, you want to come out to the show? He goes, I don't know, I'm kind of busy, you know, whatever. I go, yeah, Dave called me. What? Dave called you?
Oh, no.
And I thought, oh, Jesus, I just did a bad thing. So he goes, I'm going to have a meeting with him tomorrow. And he said, call me back as soon as the meeting's done. I think he's going to pull an Ozzy Osbourne on us. In other words, leave, get a band, and, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So I go out to Dave's house. He said, let's start a band. So I figured I had to make up my mind, do I call Eddie back or not? I said, I didn't call him back. So
yeah, at that point. Because Dave was offering you the job. You know, you had to go with.
Yeah, so I had
you
to. Know, yeah. Well, I'm glad I did too. I love all those guys. I love Eddie, Al, Mike, Dave, Wolfie, the whole organization. I love all those guys. You know, it's a drag that the situations are what they are, but they're still one of the greatest bands ever, and supremely fine people and ultra talents. And
was there ever a talk with Eddie after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Yeah, we when after the, I think when Sammy left.
Yeah.
I went up to the house with Ed and Al, and we jammed some stuff for a while. He was thinking of doing something then. But then right after that, Dave got in touch with them. They decided to put the band back together.
Right.
But, a couple times I talked with Ed about doing stuff.
Right.
So.
Okay.
That'd be pretty cool.
Well, I don't know. I think in the long run, in the 80s, I mean, he probably thought you did him a favor, because I know he was at his wit's end with Dave at the time. You know.
And Dave was at his wit's end. It was mutual, trust me.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And it's no different than, you know, it's an odd thing. The dynamic within a band is almost the same dynamic as a husband and wife.
It absolutely is.
It's a really odd, crazy thing.
Yeah.
But it's really true. And you separate out, give them a couple of years, they look back, oh, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't so bad either. And they get back together, and it's okay again. Yeah. And then the same problems crop up again.
Though. Right.
But, you know, it's an interesting thing. But they're all great people. You know, when you work together with people, things are going to rub the wrong way occasionally. These things happen.
I suppose. What was it like interacting with Yngwie Malmsteen?
Yngwie, and I've never had a problem with Yngwie. He's always been cool with me. We had a great time. He actually came to America to start a band with me. That was the original plan.
No,
really? Really?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Mike Varney brought him in. It was going to be me, Dean Castronova, and Yngwie.
Wow.
And didn't work out for whatever reason. Yngwie got the gig in Alcatraz and then did his spectacular debut solo record, which I think is one of the greatest guitar records ever. But that was the original plan.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It's funny.
With the Winery Dogs today, you know, the music industry has changed a lot as far as with downloading and streaming and everything. So, you know, albums, you'll talk to some established musicians that will say, well, the album is just a commercial for the live show. Do you cherish the experience still of doing albums, even though the sales may not be like the 80s where they exploding?
It's a snapshot of what's going on, and I've never been money motivated.
Right.
You know, the music business became the music industry, and now it's back to the music business again, thank God. Mm-hmm. So all the people that were in it to make money are gone. So now we're getting music and art again instead of commerce and trade.
That's true.
And that's what we were getting for a long time. A lot of bands that would get together. Get put together by some producer, do their record, do their video, go on tour.
Right.
Where they barely even knew each other's last names, you know. It's right. You know, it wasn't organic or real.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the 60s and 70s, band would get together, they'd be friends, they'd play together, make a record. It was a thing, it was a statement, it was part of their lives. And that's happening again, I think.
Experience the struggle and all that, yeah.
Yeah, I was an early adopter of all things digital. Right. So I'm into the streaming and... Right now, you can get just about any song that has ever been recorded.
Yeah.
You're a couple of clicks away from it, which is pretty great.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm a huge collector myself. I got like 1.7 terabytes of iTunes.
Wow.
That I travel with, and a finely tuned collection too. It's all cover art, right folders, everything's in that place.
Oh yeah, that's good too. Yeah, totally
incredible. So I'm a big fan, and I still like to actually have the music itself on a drive. Yes. The yeah. streaming thing I don't do as much, but you know, if it's available, it's available. Yeah. And I wouldn't look at an album as a commercial for the tour. The album is still what it was then, and it is now. It's an artistic thing, and it's a statement. It's what you're doing. You're not going to get rich off it.
Right.
I didn't start playing music to get rich anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love to play, and what a great thing. We're on a bus touring around. There's going to be 800 or 1,000 of our best buddies out there tonight in front of us. Does it get any better than that? And we'll still make a paycheck in the end. Maybe it won't be $1 million, but I'll get my mortgage paid and
you're living off doing what you love.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly right. So I don't bemoan the loss of the way it was, because a lot of ways the way it was a bubble that needed to burst.
Yeah.
I think that's why when the Nirvana came out, they kind of burst that whole corporate rock thing, which really needed to be broken down.
Right. What's Billy Sheehan really digging on musically these days? What are you listening to?
Oh, I listen to 60s lounge music, a lot of Sinatra, the new band The Last Internationale. They're making a little noise. I met them in New York City. They came out to our show. Good band.
Cool.
But most everything I have happened before 1978.
Yeah.
My iTunes. I say 90% of my iTunes happened before 1978. So there's so much great old stuff that I have. I almost don't have time to do the new stuff.
I
just got live Rory Gallagher from...
Oh, I love Rory Gallagher.
Amazing. Yeah. So, but, you know, I tried... My partner runs a record company, Metal Blade Records.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike Faley. And we've been together since grammar school. So I said, Mike, send me over a couple of CDs of some great new stuff. And I go, some pretty cool stuff. You know? I use him to help me find what's going on.
I hear you. We all have friends in our lives that do that for us.
Yeah, that's
what we do for people.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's part of the show. But thank you again for doing this.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
We really appreciate it. It means a lot to our listeners. You know, like we said, we're all rock and rollers, and we're doing this for the right reason. So
we're all in this together.
We're all in it together, so we appreciate you spending some time with us.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Bill.
All right.
Great guy.
Oh man, just the coolest man.
He was on my wish list since the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put like in categories of guitarists, bass player, drummers, people that I always wanted to talk to and meet. He was on there.
And I learned a lot today too. See, just like the thing I always thought about David Lee Roth, looking at the magazines, I found all my thinking on that was all backwards.
That's true.
But that's very cool to be able to learn that. See, we all learn something together.
But a lot of great stories and just such a nice person. And we love Billy. And maybe we can do, if he comes back to Nashville, Albums Unleashed for Eat 'Em and Smile. That would be fun.
Oh, that'd be freaking awesome. We kind of thought about doing that this time, but we were kind of time restrained.
He's got a record to promote right now.
But, and the time that he spent with us was fantastic. I wish we could add more.
But maybe we'll get it in the future. And he said, hopefully we'll see you guys again. So
we'll
be hold
there.
Him to that.
Yeah, we'll be there. Remember when you said that to us? We're back.
thanks again to Amanda at ABC Promotions.
Yes.
And thanks to Billy Sheehan. And
thanks to the Wild Horse Saloon.
Absolutely.
Right here in Nashville, Tennessee. They get some really kick-ass rock bands in town for us sometimes.
That's right. So go to decibelgeek.com, check out all that good stuff. And Aaron, I guess we'll see you next week.
I'll be here. And I fell for it. Yeah, you hook me on, and I'm hanging by it. I need time to think it over. I don't like what I see. She was mine, but I don't know her. How many lies should I?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.